I'm with Jeremy Scott, who has been seconded to the Royal Society of Edinburgh and through BCS, the Chartered Institute for IT. He's been seconded to make materials, or has made materials, which are really interesting to do with computer science. He's the principal teacher of computing at George Heriot School in Edinburgh, and he's been writing these resources on smart mobile phones under the sort of aegis of the Curriculum for Excellence. Is that right, Jeremy?
Yeah, Curriculum for Excellence is quite a big change in the way we approach education in Scotland. When I took on this job, I felt at the time that we were at a crossroads in education, particularly for computing teachers. There were a number of issues, but I felt that the main one was the idea that IT as a subject was running out of steam. At the start of my teaching career, whilst I've always taught computing, and in Scotland computing means principally computer science, although in the lower years there was a fair element of ICT, I remembered a case where something that was seen as a fairly tricky thing to do and was a standard grade credit, which was the highest level of our standard grade, your GCSE, a standard grade credit criterion, was to make text bold, because you had to put an embedded printer code into a word process document. Then along came the GUI, you dragged over a word, you clicked on an icon, and the text became bold. And I could see very quickly that ICT, as part of the computing curriculum, was going to leave us at ultimately a dead end. I'd also been over to Denmark with the Scottish Qualifications Authority a couple of years earlier, and I'd seen that they had no computing science in their schools and no IT lessons either. Now, whilst there's an issue with ensuring that children do have this essential life skill of ICT delivered appropriately, I just wondered if the Danish model, whereby IT wasn't taught and certainly wasn't taught by computing teachers, might be appropriate in Scotland, and that we should perhaps focus almost exclusively on computing science. Lo and behold, the Curriculum for Excellence papers came out and proposed just that. They proposed that ICT was the responsibility of all teachers, although computing might still have some input there, as everyone would, but that computing science was firmly established on the curriculum. And I felt that that was a really, really important change. The idea, I guess, that 21st century learners are digital natives, it's no longer appropriate for secondary computing teachers to be delivering Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and that the Curriculum for Excellence finally grasped that computing ICT nettle, which gave us, of course, what might be a final chance to engage students with a true computing curriculum and hopefully establish computing science as a core STEM subject.
And it's interesting because you've produced this resource, and it's not what I would call straight down the line computer science, because it does have very much, it's got a set and a setting in terms of digital literacies, in terms of what the students are familiar with, the culture of use. I'm referring in particular to the I Love My Smartphone resource. Can you tell us a bit about how that evolved and came out?
I feel that these days we've actually got an embarrassment of riches. We've got applications or environments like Alice, Kodu, GameMaker, Scratch, and App Inventor was just coming on stream there. And I felt that there were lots of appropriate tools for that age group, so there was no need to be prescriptive. But that with mobile app development in particular, there was a real chance to bring a wow factor back to computing, something that was sadly lacking in recent years. So with a nod to the new national qualifications in Scotland, I felt that it was important to provide some kind of historical and social context to the smartphone before going on to look into how to program a smartphone, how to create quite engaging applications. So, you know, it kicks off with a brief history of the telephone, you know, with Alexander Graham Bell. Where did this technology come from? And then the parallel development with palm top computers and mobile computing, and how all these synergies came together, converged into the modern smartphone.
And what really got me as well was that in the tutor notes, not only have you got that at the beginning of the resource, in the tutor notes, if I remember correctly, you've got an exercise that you suggest where students might go off and think about talking or imagining they're the CEO of Angry Birds. and all the sort of preparations and things they would need to put that in place. You seem to sort of reference or put in to the resource cultural hooks.
Yeah, I think that was quite important too. I think, you know, there's a couple of did you know little asides that I think just these are as you say, these are the hooks that are going to really engage pupils. For example, you know, the idea that Rovio spent, I don't have the number to mind, but I think it was £100,000, maybe $150,000 to create Angry Birds. And in the first year, I think they made back some huge amount of money, tens of millions of dollars. These are the kind of things that will get students oohing and aahing. But also, you know, the concept of Angry Birds, what makes a great game there? You know, it could be little yellow and blue and red blobs flying over the screen, because it's just physics, it's just projectiles and physics. But the narrative behind it, it's these birds that are trying to get back at these horrible pigs that have pinched their eggs. You know, these are the kinds of hooks that really engage students. So get them thinking about what makes a good app, what makes a good game, what engages people.
And for me, what is really interesting about this resource, as someone who looks around at sort of different areas at ICT, at digital literacy, at computer science, is that you have got this thread of computational thinking that actually sort of pulls focus in and out of all these cultural reference. So behind it all, you've got, for me, it seems a very considered way forward with this resource, in the sense that you've got computational thinking about not only the code inside and the things you want to build, but also the iteration, the social iterations you might want to go through or to consider modelling for people, as in the case of Angry Birds. It's not just this is something that's out there and everyone can do. You have to consider, how do they put this together? You know, it might lead to a deeper learning issues about how do you make a spreadsheet? What do you do if you wanted to start a business up? What are the practicalities? These are iterative decisions that you have to make that are very similar to that of computer science.
Yeah, well absolutely. The strand of computational thinking runs throughout the resource, and this is, of course, you know, one of the main things we're trying to do. Whilst the resource is primarily intended to be used by students in Scotland and the UK, in Scotland it would be seen to support National 4, the new national qualification, perhaps National 5. It could also be used at the likes of Secondary 3 in Scotland, the 14 to 15-year-old age range. I see that's probably where it sits quite well, but it could equally be used as an introduction to computer science or an introduction to the wider social aspect of telecommunications and smartphones, really at any age and stage in the secondary curriculum.
And you do have some references, cross-curricular references as well, to other disciplines as well.
Yeah, interdisciplinary learning is a really important strand within the new Curriculum for Excellence in Scotland. And it's really trying to give some context to what students are learning and to bring it all together. So, for example, creating your own smartphone app, there are instructions in the tutor's notes on how tutors might go about perhaps even allowing students to market their own app, to get their own app onto an app store. Now, in truth, it might be that it's only their aunt and uncle, granny and granddad that actually end up buying it. But it's the idea that they will go through the entire, as you say, iterative process, this idea of abstraction and breaking down, thinking about a problem on multiple levels, divide and conquer, breaking it down into smaller steps, subdividing all the stages between different personnel, because there's a big emphasis on teamwork there. And this is, I guess, it's just the kind of rich task that lends itself really well to that approach that, as I say, is the cornerstone of Curriculum for Excellence.
And of course, it's going to be, it's a perfect resource to sort of segue into the English curriculum, which is sort of up in the air at the moment, and things are happening. But it seems to me that you have a multi-entry point here. As you say, you've got that last bit about marketing, but you could actually, you know, if you thought about it, introduce some kind of marketing policy and bring the art department in and build a project on the back of it, if you so wished, within different educational systems. So how do you think, you're going to take this on as a resource in terms of dissemination and putting it into schools? How is it going to go out?
Well, one of our supporters was Education Scotland. This is the recently amalgamated Learning and Teaching Scotland and Her Majesty's Inspectorate Service in Scotland. They have published a version that they have formatted it into their own house style. They're disseminating that across Scotland. It's freely downloadable on the Royal Society of Edinburgh's website, and we'd really encourage people from across the UK and more widely to make use of it. I've also been working with MIT, who were very helpful when App Inventor was taken offline by Google and open sourced and given over to MIT. They were very helpful in giving me an experimental version which we could use with trialing schools whilst the materials were being piloted and refined. So MIT are quite interested in remixing, reusing, which is, you know, of course, how it should be.
And yes, there are other things to consider, like JISC in this country publishes open-ended resources for the very fact that some of the information to do with the discipline of computer science will be timeless, but some of the cultural references, will fade in time, and they could be replaced or updated. So, in a sense, you've got a resource that you do need to remix at certain points.
But as you see, some of the computer science and the broader brushstrokes of the cultural references, you know, some of those will be fairly timeless. But yes, we'll look back at this in 10 years' time, and there will be aspects that seem quite quaint, quite anachronistic. But hopefully the computational thinking themes, some of the computer science references, as you say, they should be timeless.
And can you tell me what you're doing at Computing at Schools at the conference?
The Royal Society of Edinburgh, British Computer Society Exemplification Project, I planned that as a three-phase development. The first and the biggest phase was actually Pack 3 of 3, which is the mobile app development that we've been discussing. I love my smartphone. And two smaller packs are designed to provide the groundwork for that. So it's essentially a 2+1 approach. And the first pack is an introduction to computer science using Scratch. And that's just going to introduce kids to the idea of what a computer is, what a program is, how we go about giving a computer instructions, and embedding these first nuggets of computational thinking. The second pack is going to lead on from that and build quite heavily on abstraction and modularization, mm-hmm. So divide and conquer. These are going to be the main themes in that second pack. So the idea is that once students have been through packs 1 and 2, which may be done at secondary 1 and secondary 2 level in Scotland, although it's not prescriptive at all, they can then consolidate everything by going into this kind of meatier piece of work on I Love My Smartphone.
I would suspect it'll go down the age range quite rapidly, actually, thinking about how resources have gone in the past. But it depends then on the will and the sort of...
It's great. More people that use it, the better. I'd be delighted.
So, Jeremy, what are your plans after this? I mean, have you enjoyed the process?
Well, originally the secondment was going to be a one-year secondment, so I'd be going back to George Heriot School after the summer. However, there are plans afoot to extend my secondment for another year in the first instance.
And, best of luck with it. I think it's fantastic. I just think it's absolutely fantastic. We're living in a renaissance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think computing, just as my secondment was starting, Eric Schmidt, chairman of Google, gave that speech at the MacTaggart Lecture in Edinburgh, saying that we were in danger of throwing away our entire computing heritage. And I think we're not. I mean, he was absolutely right at the time, but I think even that speech has spurred on a lot of political will for us to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat there and get computing and computational thinking firmly established on the curriculum again. It's like, you know, the UK being number 3 in the world for games development, but recently dropped down to number 6. And let me say, Scotland contributes pro rata a fairly big component of that as well, you know. But once again, you know, we're in danger of letting things slip away. And the first stage is, as I say, to invest in the future and get computer science and computational thinking firmly entrenched on the mainstream curriculum. That's what's going to make the difference.
I think we need people with your vision, Jeremy, doing these resources. I really do. I'd like to thank you so much for this interview.
Okay, then. Nice to speak.
All right. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.